I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome in, dear listeners, especially if you're from Ripley. Okay. I get it. I missed on that prediction. Egg on my face. Brad Locke here with you for this episode of Prep Rally, coming to you every Wednesday. Find us in iTunes, Spotify, online at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at DJournalSports. So yeah, in case you missed it, my streak on the high school football predictions came to a disastrous end last week. I went 2-4, and one of the picks I missed was Ripley. I picked them to lose to Choctaw County by 10, I think it was. And that pick was looking good for a good while until Ripley came back and won 17-16. So, yeah, I caught a little flack for that. I earned it. I earned the hate. That's a good win, though. And we'll get back to that game in just a bit. You got plenty to talk about. Of course, football as we get into week four. Got some volleyball. Got some big volleyball news that happened last night up in Belmont, and I was there for. We'll get to that in just a moment. Now, I want to shout out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor. Check them out at Midtown Point in Tupelo. Got the meat lovers and the five cheese today. Always good stuff. We still have some left over. I think that's because Adam, the photographer, is off today. Did I mention he's leaving us? I think I did. Punk. Got a new job. Oh, well. More pizza for the rest of us. Let's start with volleyball. Had a huge match last night up in Belmont. Number 2 Belmont hosting number 3 Alcorn Central. Not only are they two of the best teams in the area and the state, they're region opponents. This was a 1-3A game. So, yeah. Stakes are even higher, and they're already kind of rivals anyway. You know, they're not located that far apart, and both have been good at volleyball for the last several years. So I went up there expecting a 5-set match. It's not what I got. It was a 3-set match. Early in the first set, Kirsten Moody, the outside hitter for Belmont, the 2022 Daily Journal Player of the Year, led them to a state title last year. Actually, I think it's been 2 years in a row now that they've won it. Anyway, she went down with a knee injury that did not look good, which knee injuries rarely look good, but she went down early in the first set, did not return. And you're thinking at that point, Belmont might be done. Belmont was not done. They were down 6-1 when that injury happened. They came back and won the first set, won the second set, won the third set, just got more and more dominant as the match went on. You thought it was Alcorn Central who had lost their best player. But Belmont, with the sweep, 20th win of the season. An emotional win, clearly. I mean, there were emotions bubbling up as soon as people realized what happened with Moody's injury. But Coach Stephanie Cleveland, to her credit, told the team, no, we're not going to hang our heads and feel sorry for ourselves. We're going to go out there and win it for Kirsten. And so they did, which is a testament, A, to their fortitude, but also just their depth of talent. I mean, they had to throw out some JV girls that had never played varsity minutes and who had just played a JV match that went a full 3 sets earlier in the evening. And you know, there's a 5-set limit. So if you play 3 sets of a JV match, you can't play more than 2 in the varsity match. That's the rule. So Ailey Reno was one of those that had to be used in the varsity game and had to sit after the first 2 sets because of the JV match. So a couple other girls had to step into roles they had not played before, really, on the varsity level. And then also the veterans did what they're supposed to do, like Sadie Randolph, big girl in the middle, tall girl, ended up with 8 kills. She's, what, 6'1", 6'2"? Yeah. Had Keely Robinson come up big, just a sophomore, but has some experience. You had the setter, Addison Lyles, at 28 assists. You had a Sydney Wildman come up big. You had Meredith Eaton get some big kills. I mean, it was really everybody on the floor making stuff happen. And it was impressive to watch. We don't know how bad Moody's injury is. As I'm talking to you right now, I think she's at a doctor in like Pontotoc getting it checked out. So it could be season ending. And, you know, cross your fingers if it's not, then maybe she gets back in a few weeks. She's a senior. So that makes it even tougher to swallow if she ends up missing the rest of the season. But Belmont, I think, as huge a loss as that is, and I can't overstate how huge a loss it is, I think it's the kind of team that in the long run can weather that loss. I still consider them a state title contender just based on what I saw last night. So I'll try to update you when I know more about Kirsten Moody's injury status. Also, last night, Mantachie, another 1-3A game, taking on Boonville. Mantachie, unbeaten on the year, and remained so with a 3-0 win over Boonville last night. So that puts the Mustangs at 13-0. That was the region opener. They've only lost two sets all season. Now, they haven't had to play Alcorn or Belmont yet, so that'll give us a better picture of Mantachie. But obviously off to a great start. Got some good performances from Bailey Coker and Haley Spigner. They had 10 kills apiece. And it's pretty dominant, 25-11, 25-16, 25-10 were the scores. Okay, football, speaking of injuries, Shamar Darden, the defensive back for Tupelo, Ole Miss commit, going to miss several weeks with an ankle injury he suffered in last week's win against Hernando. I was told by those who saw it that it did not look good, but they're hoping he can be back as soon as early as the Starkville game, which is the last regular game, which is the last game of the regular season. And if not then, perhaps he'll be available for the playoffs. So that's a big loss. But as with Belmont volleyball, Tupelo football can weather this loss because they've got depth at like every position on the field, especially on that defense, which has allowed 7 total points this year. They're giving up like 110 yards per game. I mean, just thoroughly dominant. I mean, they've got D1 guys at every level, D-line back to safeties. And Darden is one of those guys that could play safety or corner. So they're going to look to other guys, some guys with experience and some guys who haven't gotten a ton of playing time in the past, like Iverson McCoy. His role will increase. Mason Dunn is coming back from he got sick week one, was banged up for the next game, but he should be pretty much full speed when Tupelo faces Oxford on Friday. We'll talk about that game in just a minute. Another injury. Drew Winfen, the quarterback for North Pontotoc, has a broken hand. Actually played with it. He broke it in week one, played with it in week two, had a great game week two. but he had to have surgery on it last Wednesday, I think it was. And so that's going to keep him out for a while. It's on his throwing hand, so that's not good. Now maybe they can bring him back as just to run the ball as a running back, which is what he played before. But, they definitely missed him in that loss to Corinth last week. And so let's look at some of the games from last week. Morville at South Pontotoc, that was my game. Morville winning 28-3, my first chance to really see Wyatt McDaniels, the freshman quarterback, and I was duly impressed. Met my expectations and then some. I mean, for a freshman quarterback. No, yeah, he wasn't playing against the Tupelo defense, but just his mechanics, the way he's able to keep his eyes downfield when he's scrambling, his ability to scramble and pick up yards. Just his decision-making, I thought, was pretty solid. I mean, his only pick was like on a long fourth down. And really, the South Pontotoc player should have just knocked it down instead of catching it and going down at the 7. But, McDaniels had a really nice game there for Morville in that 28-3 win. So did Mason Guillentine, the running back. Known for his baseball prowess, had not played football since, I think, middle school. Yeah, and then he came back out for the team this year, as his senior year. decided to give it a go, and went pretty well for him. He ended up rushing for 129 yards, and he scored 3 touchdowns total. And I mentioned McDaniels, he was 14 of 21, 165, and 2 touchdowns. So Morville 3-0 for the first time in 13 years. How about them Troopers after going 0-for in 2022? And I mentioned Ripley proving me wrong, and they did, beating Choctaw County 17-16. Had to make a comeback. The first points that they scored were a 51-yard field goal by Freddie Lopez, who I did a story on, by the way. You can find it. It was in today's journal, also at djournal.com. But then Choctaw County, with their 5-star receiver, Caleb Cunningham, pulled ahead 16-3, and you're thinking, well, could be trouble for old Ripley. But that's a team that prides itself on defense, and they made some kind of adjustments at halftime. And Cunningham was held, I think, to 1 catch in the second half. And Ripley was able to come back. Michael Turner, the defensive back, made 2 interceptions. Of course, he had a big responsibility in helping limit Cunningham's touches. And then Turner, who plays both ways, caught a 41-yard touchdown pass with a minute 28 to go in the game. Put Ripley ahead. They won 17-16. So that is an impressive win. Ripley is 3-0. I was wrong. I admit it. My next round of predictions will, of course, be in Friday's Journal. I do pick the Boonville-Ripley game. Will I pick Ripley to win? Do they really want me to pick them to win? Maybe they want me to pick them to lose. Gives them extra motivation. That's what I was told last week, that it gave them extra motivation. I don't think I'm all that motivational, but whatever works for you. Anyway, look for that on Friday. And then how about Cannon Daniels? Good heavens. The West Point running back just put up stupid numbers last week. 427 yards and 7 touchdowns on 38 carries. That's a huge workload, but Cannon Daniels is a huge talent. He, of course, is committed to Florida. And so I'm sure all you Gator fans that are listening out there, I'm sure there are many of you, we're glad to see that from Cannon Daniels. And by the way, West Point won that game over Noxubee County 50-40. First win of the season for West Point. They played a brutal opening schedule. Lost to Starkville, lost to Louisville. A couple of state champs there. But that's what West Point does. And come playoff time, they'll be extremely difficult to deal with in 5A. Although, giving up 40 points, kind of wonder about that defense, what's going on. I don't know. They'll figure it out. They're West Point. Looking ahead to week 4, Tupelo at Oxford. I mentioned that earlier. Golden Wave, 3-0. Number 1 large school in our rankings. Oxford, our number 5 school. Oxford coming off its first loss of the season, 31-28 to Grenada. It wasn't really that close. Oxford started slowly, had to rally. And then Grenada was able to pull away. I think Oxford scored a late touchdown. But they struggled offensively for most of the night, threw 3 interceptions. And that's not how you want to play the week before facing Tupelo, which is a team that knows how to create turnovers. I think Tupelo's turnover ratio is already plus 5, 3 games into the season. I mean, I like the quarterback Oxford has, Mitchell Grandjean. He's the one getting most of the playing time. Been splitting snaps with his brother, Peter, who I think he's a senior. But Mitchell's been getting most of the action. And I like his upside, but had a tough night against Grenada, and it's not going to be easy at all against Tupelo. Wouldn't be surprised if it's a blowout, honestly. And that's just because – and that's nothing against Oxford. That's just how much – that just tells you how highly I think of Tupelo. In particular, its defense, even with all the injuries. They could get Tristan Jernigan back, by the way. He's been out with a shoulder injury. The linebacker, Texas A&M commit, and Tupelo is also hoping that it can get another linebacker back, Clifton Watkins. Those both could be game time decisions. Also, we've got the A game this week, Amory at Aberdeen. Amory has won the last five meetings. Aberdeen coming into this game with a record of 1-2. Amory is 3-0. So Aberdeen, they've really made some progress under Coach Alex Williams. It might seem like they are taking a little step back this year. Of course, they did lose a lot of key players, a lot of big-time seniors from last year or so. But I think overall the program is still headed in the right direction. And this Amory matchup is going to be real tough for them, though, even though it's at home. But we'll see. It's a rival game. You never know. They got East Webster at Baldwin. These teams, I don't think they ever met on the football field until like 2014. And they've played several times since then, and a lot of those games have been really close. They met last year. Baldwin won in the regular season meeting, I think 21-20, and then they beat them by like 20-something in the playoffs, in the two-way playoffs. Baldwin now back down in 1A. East Webster up to 3A. So this is a fun non-region matchup. East Webster led by Caleb Warnock at quarterback. He can run it. He can throw it. Baldwin with a new quarterback and Dylan Johnson. Seems to be improving as the season goes on. Baldwin got its first win last Friday, beating Water Valley. So going to try and build on that. I expect a pretty close game. Again, that game's at Baldwin. Let's close it out with our athletes of the week. The nominees this week. Female athletes, Caroline Hamm of the Saltillo volleyball team, Allie Murphy of Myrtle Cross Country, and Macy Wheatley of Wheeler volleyball. Male athlete nominees, Cannon Daniels, mentioned him earlier from West Point, and let's be honest, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but do I need to say those numbers again? 427 yards, 7 touchdowns. Hank Eaton, quarterback at Kossuth, and then Trey Gunn, of Biggersville football, who scored about 3 or 4 different ways last week. So those are your nominees. We'll have the poll up on Twitter at DJournalSports. You can vote there. It'll be up for about 24 hours. I'll try to attach some statistics on these kids to the polls at some point today. Maybe give you a better idea of who to vote for. Although, again, Cannon Daniels ran for over 400 yards. Okay, that's all the time I have for this episode. Oh, my gosh, I forgot to mention Podgator. Oh, gosh, he's angry. I won't forget you in the intro next time, buddy, I swear. We come to you every Wednesday. Find us on Spotify, iTunes, online at preprally.djournal.com, or on Twitter at DJournalSports. I'm on Twitter, at Brad Locke. Check out Pizza Doctor, our sponsor. It's delicious. Okay, see y'all next week.